This is kind of a timely topic when results need to be proven. Maybe it was rigged. How do we know for sure? All right, it's not exactly about an election, but nonetheless, something needed to be proven, and we are up to the birth of Yitzchak. Chapter 21. Vashem pokad es Sarah. God remembered Sarah. Kasher Omar, as he said. Vayas Hashem l'Sarah, God did to Sarah, Kasher diber, as he had talked. So this is unusual, to have in the same pasuk the word Omar and diber. And we know that usually Amira is Lashon Raka, speak softly. And diber is usually kind of tough talk. So the question is, what is the pshat? And anyway, why repeat yourself? Hashem remembered what he said, but he did what he had spoken. What does this mean? So Rashi says, Pokad esara kaasher omar. There seems to be two promises here. Rashi says, Pokad esara, remembering Sarah. Beheroyim. That was with pregnancy. Kasha diber, as he had spoken, this is beleda, with birth. So Rashi now says, okay, that sounds very interesting. Kasha omar, kasha diber. Where does it say? Like, do we have any documentation? Beheichon hi amira. Where exactly do we find a reference to the soft-spoken words of Hashem? Where do we find the Heichan Huadibur? Says Rashi, Amira, we find Vayomer Elikim. God says to Avraham Avinu, Aval Sarah Ishtecha, your wife Sarah will have a child, etc. So this is a promise of pregnancy. Where do we find Diber? Diber we find by the Brisbane of Sarah. It says, Hoyodvar Hashem al Avram, Dvar Hashem, Dibur is Dvar, Dibur. So there was a Dvar Hashem al Avram, Bebrisbin Hapsorim, Vishom Neamar, and over there it was stated, Lo Yiroshcha Zeh, this one will not inherit you, Vehevi Hayedesh Misara, but instead the inheritor will come from Sarah. What does it mean, Vayas Hashem l'sara kasha diber? That would then mean, as Hashem had said, l'avram, because we don't find anywhere that Hashem speaks to Sarah Imenu. And actually, there are some Rishonim who mention the fact that Sarah might not have been aware of this whole prophecy altogether. There's a Rishon whose name is Avinu Nissim, and he maintains that the reason that Avraham Avinu did not make a party, which happens a little bit later, until a later point when he was weaned already, he says that it could have been there was a tradition at the time that they didn't celebrate the birth of a child until they knew with certainty that a child was viable. And he asks, but Avraham Avinu would have known. And he says, yeah, the prophecy was to Avraham. And because the prophecy was to Avraham, Sarah Imenu heard these guests come and blessed them. It's like people who worship with dust at their feet. Okay, maybe she could have had an inkling that it was somebody more than that. If somebody blesses you, you just say thank you and amen. But God never spoke to Sarah here. And he says it's distinctly possible that since it was a prophecy to Avraham Avinu, that Avraham Avinu did not tell Sarah. He didn't have permission to tell you. This is what God said to him. He kept it to himself. So we have this business. Hashem remembered Sarah. Kasher Omar would be, as he said to Avraham. Kasher Diber, as he had spoken. Once again, that would be L'Avraham. Now Rashi doesn't give us any inkling as to why there would be a Dibur and an Amira. He doesn't talk about the idea of the softly spoken or strongly said, but we could really understand this in the following context. Rashi does tell us that the first is about that Sarah will have a child. The second is not just about having a child; it's about the inheriting. It's like he said, have a pregnancy, but didn't have a baby. What's the use of a pregnancy if you don't have a baby from it? What's the point? Just to be pregnant and miscarry. What would be the point of that? But actually, Rashi doesn't say the idea of Leda as much as talked about the idea of Yerusha. And it's one thing to have a baby. It's another thing that baby should grow up with the courage and gumption and fortitude, and it'll follow through. So one is amira. That's a pregnancy. The diber, the dvar Hashem, the strong word of Hashem, the tough talk, if you will, that's with regard to the continuity, that Yitzchak will become the Yerush, Yitzchak will become the inheritor, and he will be able to ensure that there is continuity for the Jewish people and that a nation will rise. So that's how we understand the idea of Kasher Omar and Kasher Diber. Ramban says that the word Pekida comes from the idea of Zechira, remembering. Hashem remembered Sarah. Ramban also notes that with all of the barren women in the Torah, and there are many, it always says the word Pekida, which is the idea of remembering. The Kli Yakar says something very interesting, not about the words Pakad or Omar, but it says Vahashem Pakad et Sarah. Just Hashem Pakad Sarah. What's et Sarah? Says the Kli Yakar that et is understood as im, with Sarah. There were many, many barren women who miraculously found the prayers answered and found themselves pregnant when Sarah Yemenu became pregnant. In other words, that the pregnancy or gestation of the first Jew in the world, as the Rebbe explains, had an influence on a very broad band around Sarah Yemenu, which is the essence of what a Yid is supposed to do to influence those around him, to bring good things not only for yourself, but to bring good things for others too. Now, Vashem Pokad, Vashem Omar, according to Ramban, the soft speaking is the remembering, so that's theoretical. Kasher Omar is the actual pregnancy. Of course, from Rashi's perspective, what would be the point of just remembering? That doesn't do anything for us. And therefore, Rashi explains it in a different fashion. Radak maintains that even though there seems to be a redundancy, and it's a redundancy that seems to require elucidation, Radak maintains that is Lashon HaKosov. That's the way the scripture speaks. But it's not the way the scripture speaks. It's redundant. And oftentimes when we have a redundancy scripturally, we query and we are able to read into it and understand the deeper message. Radak says when it's a Dover Pella, when it's something which is astonishing, miraculous, off the charts, then in that case, it wouldn't be strange that it would be repeated. Because when something is so outlandish and incredible and unusual that a 90-year-old woman is having a baby, the Torah emphasizes it time and again. So that was the repetition would be for emphasis because of the uniqueness of the situation. Now the Ur HaChaim tells us on this pasuk something that Rashi will tell us a little bit later. He says, this is to tell you the Diber is exacting and precise. It's not softly spoken. It's very like, almost like demanding. He said, you should know that Sarah had the baby exactly at the time that she was promised she would be having a baby. But exactly to the second. How would we know this? So Rachaim talks about something which is mentioned in Rashi that we're going to learn about today, about a mark on the wall. A mark on the wall and the shade caused by the sunlight. And Rachaim says that's what this is alluding to. Verse 2. Vatar Sar, hold that thought, we'll get to it. Vatar, she became pregnant. Vateled, she gave birth. Sarah to Avram, ben lezikun of a child in his old age. Lamayed asher diber oisei elekim. Exactly at the time that Hashem had said or promised. Lamayed asher diber, at the time of diber. See, here we have this idea of diber. And interestingly, here does not refer to the Dvar Hashem al Avram. Here it refers to what Hashem said to Avram Avinu, which is at that time when they got the promise through the angels, which is very interesting that it says Diber, not Amar, because Rashi said before Amar. But anyway, Rashi says, Nechluku Rav Yudan Rabbi Chama. And we have two great Talmudic sages who argue about this. What is the Moyed? Rav Yudan Omer. Rav Yudan says, Melamed, this teaches us, Shenoilad Lates Chadashim, that Yitzchak was born at exactly 9 months. Why? Shalo Yemru, they shouldn't say, Mibesei Shal Avi Melech, that this is from Avi Melech's deeds, that he should be attributed paternity not Avram Avinu. So therefore, it was exactly 9 months to when Sarah was returned to Avram, which is a later time, actually. It's a later time. And that's exactly as people could see. Rabbi Chama says it was L'Shiva Chadashim. And he says that the Moyed here refers to Chag HaPesach. And the promise or the remembrance was on Rosh Hashanah. And that's one of the reasons, according to the opinion of Rabbi Chama, that we read this on Rosh Hashanah. Because Hashem pokad Sarah, Hashem remembered Sarah, he remembered her Rosh Hashanah. So if he remembered her Rosh Hashanah, we ask Hashem to remember us on Rosh Hashanah. Like it says, Zachreinu l'chaim, remember us for life. And we say, just as Hashem remembered Sarah Yemenu. But if he remembered her on Rosh Hashanah, that would not work out to be Pesach. That's just 6.5 months later. Right? So it's less than 7 months. L'shiva chadashim means in the 7th month. And the Gemara tells us a baby can be born either in the 9th month or a baby can be born in the 7th month. The Gemara indicates that the 8th month, the baby would not be viable. At any rate, according to Rabbi Chama, that's when the remembrance actually came. Lizikunov, to his old age, we kind of know this already. We've heard the age of Avraham and Sarah multiple times. Why did the Torah have to emphasize again Lizikunov? So Rashi says, Shahoya Ziv, Ikoinin Shaloi, that his facial features were Doimeloi, were very much in the image of Avraham. And that's part of the whole point. You have to prove that it's Avraham's child. And as Deb explains elsewhere, that Yitzchak had a very different personality. He was very much his mother, not his father. And because he very much was his mother's personality, you would think he would look like his mother, because he was mother's personality. Indeed, he had his mother's personality. He did not share much with Avram insofar as personality goes, but facial features, as they say, a spitting image, exactly like Avram. Even as a baby, you could see right away. La moya d'ashadiber. What does it mean, la moya d'ashadiber, itoy, or oisoy? So oisoy, says Rashi, does not refer to Avraham. La moyed ashadibur oisai oto means it, the moyed, the time. The malel yosei, that he had spoken to it, says the unculus. It's a moyed ashadibur vakova, the time which had been appointed, which had been established. And here is something that Arachayim mentioned before. Now Rashi says it. I mean, Rashi says it before the Arachayim, but Rashi says it in this pasuk. Kishomar loy, when the Malach said, La Mayed Oshuv Elecha, I will come back to you at an appointed time. When the Malach said this, Sorat Le Srita Bekaisel, he made a mark on the wall, a scratch on the wall. Va'amar Le, and he said to him, Kishetagia Chama L'Srita Zu, when the shade will come to this line, Vishana Acheres, in the next year, Talad, exactly then, is when she'll give birth. So this is like the idea of a sundial. The shade is always in the same place at the same time. It's always exactly. So what the shade's going to be exactly here, that's when the baby's going to be born. Of course, this is very, very difficult to understand because that was on Pesach. The baby's born the next year, Pesach. And here we have a discussion if Yitzchak's gestation was 9 months or Yitzchak's gestation was 6 months or 7 months. So I'm not an expert on sundials, but it could be that regardless of what time of the year and how long the sun shines for, could be the sun comes, people can tell time with it all year, so it's got to work all year. So that means the Lamayed would not be on the day, but Lamayed would refer to the time. Exactly this time. Because Pesach was, I mean, the truth is Yitzchak was born Pesach, and he says Lamayed exactly this time. So, okay, it means she didn't get pregnant for a few months later, but when he was there on Pesach, he made a line, and exactly at that time, that day, exactly there, that's where the baby was born. So it worked out, mamash, exact, everything was exact. And that was the sign. So Rashi says, that Rashi explains to us, that's the lamoyed ashadibur oto. The oto refers to the sign, to the mark on the wall, and to them coming back a year later. There is another opinion that this whole conversation took place on Sukkot, and that's what means v'hishanu tachas ha'etz. So what would it mean, lamayid, coming back? It's But as I said, that would mean Lamayah would mean the next Yom Tov. Now is Sukkos, I made you a line of the wall. On Pesach, when the line of the wall, Lamayah, the next Yom Tov, that's when the baby will be born. But as I said, because it doesn't, it could mean the exact day, exact time, exact hour, or it could mean at this exact hour, exactly when the sun is there. Either way, it would be a very compelling and striking sign when they would see, oh, exactly when the shade got there, that's when the baby came. That's when the crowning happened. Now it says, Vatelid Sarah la'Avraham Bain. Why don't you just say la'Avraham? Or just, we know it's la'Avraham. It's been emphasized a number of times. You could just say, Vatelid Sarah Bain. So Radak says, that's not really a question. That's the nature of the Pasuk. And the Pasuk wants to emphasize that the child was fathered by Avraham. So for emphasis, we repeat it a second time. The Rechaim says, indeed, there is an emphasis here. And the emphasis is, Zem is Yachis. This child will be the heir. He will trace his lineage to Avram, v'le Yishmael. Yishmael will not trace his lineage. Yishmael will not be the one who is able to, so to speak, trace back to Avram Avinu and claim to be an heir. So this is the idea of L'amoyed ha-shadibaraiti. Ibn Ezra says, Hamoyed shadibar oisoy hamalach. The time that the malach had spoken, that the malach said, Ay Yisara Yishtecha, where's Yisara, your wife? So he said, I'll return to you, shoyv asher ve'lecha. It was exactly the time that he had spoken. All right. So we have something about the time. Rashi emphasizes the idea, not just the time he had spoken, but the saratle sita bekesel, the mark on the wall, whether it was 6 months later, he's talking on Sukkos, and the story of Hashem Pakad happens previously. She had already been remembered before. Or whether we have to say that it was the story happened on Pesach and the baby was born on Pesach. At any rate, there was this telltale sign, and that's the meaning of the words L'amoyed ha-shadibar oisai. And according to the Ur HaChaim, that's the emphasis of Hashem Pakad Kasher Amar and Kasher Dibar. Kasher Amar is, as he said, but Kasher Dibar means the precise exact moment. Okay. The Rebbe once spoke about this Rashi, this L'amoyed ha-shadibar oisai. And he asked a simple question. Page Reish Chof Beis in the Biur. Reish Chof Beis. 222. Page 222, and the simon is Chof Beis, 2-2. A lot of twos. Tzarech Bir. Rebbe's question. That's a question. Meheichon lamad Rashi. From where did Rashi derive shesarat le srita bekeisel? That there had been a mark made on the wall. Now, Ur HaChaim takes it from Rashi. But where did Rashi get it from? How did Rashi know that he said to him, Kishatikia chama l'sita zu, when the sun, when the shade will come to this line, that's when it's happening. B'shana acheres teilet. Now, to be sure, there is a Medrash Tanchuma. And the Medrash Tanchuma says that we learn it from the words of the Malach. That the Malach said, when he came to bring the news to Sarah, Shoiv Oshuv Eilecha, I will return to you. Ke'et Chaya, at exactly this time of life, exactly this time, as we are alive, exactly this time. However, Rashi explains the words Ke'et Chaya, Ke'et Hazot, approximately this time, L'shana Haba. And Rashi there does not bring the Medrash Tanchuma that speaks about the mark on the wall. Rashi only brings that medrash here when Sarah actually has a baby. So the question is then, where did Rashi get this idea that when it says La Moyed Asher Diber Oisay Elikim, that was referring to the mark on the wall? Because our sages don't talk about the mark on the wall in this pasuk. Our sages in the medrash Tanchuma, they speak about the mark on the wall when the Malach made a promise, when he made the mark on the wall. And Rashi doesn't mention anything over there. Rashi only talks about the mark on the wall after Sarah has the baby. The Yeshleimer. So the Rebbe suggested that the reason that Rashi only brings it up here after the fact is L'cha'ira, ostensibly, when you take a look at these words, Hamilim, the words, La'moyed asher diber oisoy alikim, these five words, for the time, to the time that Hashem had spoken, they are mutarot. They seem to be entirely superfluous, unnecessary. Because it already says, with the pasuk before, Vahashem pokad asara kasher omar, Vayas Hashem l'sara kasher diber. As the Ur HaChaim says, that when it says the words Vayas Hashem l'sara, Vahashem pokad asara means Hashem remembered. And then Vayas Hashem kasher diber, as he had spoken, meaning spoken through the malach. And done through the malach. So Vayas Hashem l'sara, as the malach had spoken, that refers to the mark on the wall. And the Ur HaChaim says that actually. The Ur HaChaim explains, the pasuk before explains pasuk aleph, that the idea of kasher diber, as he had spoken, refers to the mark on the wall. That's what he says. So why does the Torah have to then repeat a second time, L'mayah deshu diber eisen? Mikach muvan, from the first pasuk, it could be understood, shakol pratei ha'avtocha, that all of the details, everything about the pledge and the promise to Sarah, his kaim was fulfilled fully. Obey Nehem, and amongst the details that would have been fulfilled is Hazman, Hameduyev, the exact time, Shenikva Bahavtacha. The exact time that the Havtacha was promised will happen at this time, certainly that was taken care of as well. But the Torah emphasizes, the Torah repeats, Lamoye Dasha Diberoto, Lamoye, for the time that he had spoken. It's unnecessary. It isn't as if the Torah is emphasizing something that it said previously. The Torah is emphasizing something it just said in the Pasuk before. In verse 1 it said, in Pasuk Aleph it says, that Hashem did everything as he remembered Sarah, he did everything as he had spoken. Did everything as he had spoken includes everything. He did everything. So why would the Torah have to repeat this? It's from this seeming extraneous reference that Rashi is able to derive. That in addition to the notion that Hashem's promise was fulfilled in its entirety, the scripture here comes to emphasize something. What's it emphasizing? It cannot be emphasizing that Hashem did as he said, because that already says. So what's it emphasizing? What could it be emphasizing? It says already everything happened as it was supposed to. So what would the emphasis be? That's already been emphasized. It's because it says, "Batelid Sarah Lavram Bain." So why do we have to emphasize a second time, a seemingly superfluous time, "Lamaya Desha Dibur Aisyalikim," the time that God had promised? Why emphasize that again? What's the redundancy? What's the double emphasis? Let me repeat that. It already says that God did everything exactly as he had said. If the Torah says that God did everything exactly as he said, what does that tell you? It tells you that everything happened. So why would you have to repeat it a second time? You went ahead and said everything that was supposed that God said. Everything. What does everything mean? Everything means everything. Everything means including a time. Hashem said a time, and he said, Ke'is chaya, Shoiv asher v'lecha, Ke'is chaya, I'll come back. Rashi there quotes the famous expression that Elisha HaNavi says, At chevek es ben, you'll be holding a child. And Rashi says, she said, holding a child. You give me a promise like the Malachim gave. I want a promise, Ke'et chaya. So Elisha said, I can't make promises like that. I don't know if I'll be alive next year. I do know you'll have a baby. I said, B'shana acheres at chevekes, you'll be holding a baby. I don't know if I'll be here. But he said, the Malach doesn't die, so the Malach has no problem. The Malach can come, go, it's not an issue. So if it says already that God did everything as he said, we know God did everything as he said. What then would be the difference now? What else is the Torah telling me? What's the answer? The Rebbe says the scripture comes to teach us. Shebe'et leidat Yitzchak, when our father Isaac was born, you're listening, Mark? Hayanikir lakol, it was obvious to everybody. Of course, God did everything he said. He said he did everything he said. He said he did everything he said. But here everybody could see it. How could everybody see it? How could everybody see it? What, did they set their stopwatches for a year from now? And the answer is that everybody could see Shahadavar Kara Bidiyuk. Everybody could see it happened exactly, precisely when it was supposed to happen. How could they have seen that? And the answer is that therefore Rashi brings this idea. He says, Sarat le Srita Bekaisel. He made a mark on the wall. A sundial is obvious. You can't rig a sundial. Nobody can play with the sun. If the building was altered, the building is altered. So, the building's not altered, it's not altered.
It's like it happened at midnight.
It's like it happened at midnight, but there it couldn't be seen. So when it happened at midnight, it doesn't say by midnight by Makas Bechoros. Why not? One of the reasons Rashi says is because they would say, God said midnight. It was a minute after midnight. Because their time devices were off. So God says, Kachatzois. But here it's during the day. When it's during the day, sundials don't lie. Water clocks can lie. Sand clocks can lie. Sundials don't lie. This is better than a nuclear clock. It's a sundial. It can't go wrong. And when it's a sundial, everybody can see it. He made a mark. See the shadow over here? When the shade gets back here, that's when it's happening. So those people in the house, Avraham Avinu is a rich man in a household.
But that's not everybody.
People talked about it afterwards. You can't make this stuff up. Everybody says unbelievable. It was a whole rumor, a thing. Everybody knew a whole year long there's this mark on the wall. What's going on with the mark on the wall? Oh, the mark on the wall. There's a promise, mark on the wall. And then everybody sees. For all we know, Avraham had hundreds of people around him. He lived in a massive compound. And the mark is on the wall. And they hear a cry from the baby. It was like unbelievable, overwhelming, incredible. And that's why Rashi says, you hear this is brilliant. And it's not the chap over here. In the first pasuk of pasuk aleph, it says, Hashem did everything exactly as he said. So if Hashem did everything exactly as he said, it's not a question. I know he did everything exactly as he said. Pasuk comes in pasuk beis in verse 2 to reemphasize. It happened exactly as it was supposed to. What could the second pasuk be adding to the first pasuk? The first pasuk is matter-of-factly. The second pasuk is proving the results. Nobody could say it was rigged. Oh, how could that be? That's why Rashi reaches for the medrash with the scratch on the wall. Because the scratch on the wall is the only way that everybody, in an indisputed fashion, would say, it's not rigged. It's clear. It's obvious.
So he became a believer after he saw this.
They all became believers.
So everybody here, all the people that...
With this scratch on the wall, Ro, everybody saw Shasara, Yalda, Sara gave birth. Bidiyuk. Exactly. Precisely. Kishagiyachama, when the shade reached, Sritazu. Elashadayin Yishlahakshayis. There is one question that's outstanding, though. One issue that we haven't resolved. Madua Ramuz Hakosov L'Sritazu Kan. If indeed we have this oral tradition from our sages, ultimately it's passed down from Moshe Rabbeinu, that there was a scratch on the wall, and the scratch on the wall was like a sundial, how come it's alluded to here? Why isn't alluded to previously? How come there's nothing in the scripture that alludes to the scratch being made when the scratch was made? Why is it only alluded to when the sun reaches the mark? Habir Bazer. In the biblical narrative of our first patriarch and matriarch getting the message, getting the news, there's no reason to mention that they actually made a sign. Some kind of telltale mark, they made a scratch on the wall. You said it before. You said they all became believers. Avraham and Sarah didn't have to become believers. They were believers. That wasn't the issue. Dvarav habrurim shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when there was clear words from Hashem, speaku lehem. That's enough. That's enough. Ach, however, kishim medubar al haleida bepoil, when we get to the actual birth, sheheviya lekach anoshim, which this brought people, rinenu achare Yitzchak, they had all kinds of rumors. The whole Twitter exploded with all kinds of people laughing and mocking, and Instagram with funny memes and pictures about Avram that really was Avimelech's baby. Amru Shuva Sufi, they said, Ha, Avram, if fake a pregnancy, find some baby in the street, then she goes and tells everyone she had a baby. Or they said even worse, it's B'nai Shel Avimelech. You could even just imagine what the memes look like. So here, when does everybody need to have a clear sign? Avram and Sarah don't need clear signs. Who needs clear signs? You have to prove the results when people say they're contested. It's not really what you think it is. Oh, Khan, here, when you have to prove the results. Khan yesh tzedech lahaskir asim. Here's when the sign needs to be mentioned. The Simon HaNisi, the miraculous sign, Shehayud Bebirur, which testified without any shadow of a doubt, She Yitzchak Noila, that Yitzchak was indeed born, Al Pidivre Hashem, by the word of God. And that's why the scripture alludes to this only later, because that's what the sign was all about. Avram and Sarah didn't need signs, everybody else did. Which doesn't mean, incidentally, that they didn't question after. People kept, the Twitter feed was still alive with Twitter feed. And people still mocked what people will mock. But those who wanted to know the truth knew the truth that this is indeed the child of Sarah. It says about the next thing we read about this, the big feast they made. It says that many people came to the feast because they still didn't believe that this happened. And Og was the chief amongst those who would laugh at Avram and call him an impotent mule who could never father a child. And therefore they came, and that's why it was Kasher Yigomal, when he finished nursing. That's the whole business of Sarah nursing babies. So it should be clear and obvious to everybody that in fact this was the real deal and a miracle.
So these people were all there at the birth. Og was there at the birth?
No, Og was not. These people came later to the party, but they didn't see the birth. They saw Sarah nursing the baby. They saw that she was capable. She had milk. This is something that the people were there. But again, you know, word of mouth is still better than Twitter. So word of mouth, people were there. Everybody knew about this. And ultimately, as the Rebbe explains elsewhere, the Jewish people's essence, the foundation, comes in miracles. That's why he has to wait until he's 90. She's 90, he's 100. Why? Because our survival is miraculous in and of itself.
You just have to be able to see it.